from it, and I think perhaps that that 13th chapter, John, we could start maybe at verse 18. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, you know that Judas was chosen to fulfill a role, but he wasn't chosen to be a part of the bride. He wasn't literally one of the 12 apostles, because he never had the qualifications to fulfill it, because he was of his father the devil. And these others were of God. And so the Lord later on allowed Paul, one of his own choosing. And you notice that his brother Branham said so truly, they tried to pick another man, Matthias, and God turned him down. He said, you never heard of that man again, which was true. So Judas was one of those chosen in the sense that he was designated. He was appointed, and he was spoken of in that particular area, but he was not in the election. See, he just wasn't. Okay, he said, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he, or I am. Verily, verily, I send you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, or ever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Now that's a law of Scripture, but people in the churches have, especially the Roman Catholic Church, which we have no problem with, it's just they have done this, they have delegated this to their own authority, and claimed it to be God. That's the thing what Stan is saying tonight. You can take anything. It doesn't mean that it's real just because you believe it to be real. You got to get back to what is real. All right. When Jesus had said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped a sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Now, you'll notice that Jesus is reiterating the promise that God gave him, that if he would glorify God, then God would glorify him. And he said, this is in process now, because the only way that Jesus could truly glorify God would be to become the Savior of mankind and bring back all those fallen sons. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go you cannot come, so now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now this little scripture here that we just read about love, you will notice follows the Passover Supper, the Lord's Supper, and also it is subsequent to the foot washing scene, because he hath both washed their feet and given them the emblems, the elements. And then he says here that as soon as these two ordinances were instituted in the church, and that they should be constantly in use in the church until the resurrection. He says here, little children, I'm going to be going, You can't come, at least at this time, to where I will be, though he said in 14, in my Father's house are many mansions, and where I am, you're going to be with me also. He said here, I've given you a new commandment. So there was evidently previously other commandments, but this is one now that supersedes, not necessarily supersedes, though I believe it does, but it distinctly goes with the foot washing and communion. That's what I'm looking at. Now he said here, that you love one another as I have loved you, you also then love each other. And he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Now, you'll notice that everybody quotes the 35th verse, but not everybody quotes the 34th with the 35th. And you should always quote the two together, because they belong together. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. I'm giving you something else now, telling you, now that these ordinances have been instituted, and you have partaken of them. And people down in future generations will be partaking of these ordinances. And with this then, there is to be this love. And he says here that you love one another as I have loved you. I said, that's the command. You also love one another. Now you notice the repetition, that you love one another. Now the explanation is you put a colon there, they put a semicolon. I might well put a colon and dash. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, therefore, phrase number one is the projected premise or principle. You are to love each other. Now, how do you love each other? He says, as I have loved you, then you do to each other. Then how did Jesus love them? Well, the 13th chapter tells you, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So, what you're looking at here is the fact that Jesus acknowledges that they are not of the world, but they are in the world. And he knows that he is going to die for them. And at Hastings, or was it Parker? I think it was Joseph Parker. A great, great minister. Something with the caliber of Spurgeon, but not that great. He mentioned that when men are dying, it is not usual for them to think of others. He mentioned that Rousseau wanted to see his garden again. He mentioned of other people that had something on their minds, but he said, you know that Jesus only had his disciples and his loved ones on his mind. And instead of people giving him comfort, as we usually try to comfort those that are dying, you will notice that the dying was giving the living comfort. And there was that great difference from Jesus, the man, and we as men and women. So what I'm trying to bring out here is that this love that we are pledging to each other as the family of Christ, both local and universal, is that in the hour of our trials, the hour of sorrow, we are willing to make our love, as Dr. Wiest always translates in the Bible, self-sacrificial, to put the other person first. So that the taking of these two ordinances actually, not only did Jesus show his humility, as we find in Philippians, where he left the things of glory to become one of us, but now it devolves upon us to forget our status, if we have any, to forget our possessions, if we have any, to forget our aspirations, which we have, most of us, in favor of the others, which means in honor, preferring, and denying ourselves, not because someone is superficially and foolishly demanding our attention or wanting something from us, and we are to give that thing just because the person wants it. See, we're not interested in ploys. Jesus said, you will love as I am doing. And when Jesus emptied himself of his glory, he did not demean himself. When people demanded folly from him, he did not demean himself. When people demanded that he debase himself, he would not debase himself under any consideration. He always stood with the word of what he knew his destiny was, the position that God gave him. So you don't see here in the Lord's Supper and the foot washing something so menial that you place yourself at somebody's feet to say, well, anything you do is fine, because everything people do is not fine. That's why people die for the gospel. Now he said, as I have loved you, you take the lesson. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to give my substance. There's lots of things I will do, but I will do it for the glory of God. See, Father, I have glorified you. Now, I want your promise to glorify me. Now, if we can glorify God, and that return upon us, it'll only be through scriptural acquiescence. You do not lose your nobility before God, and I use that term wisely, because we are the noble children of Almighty God. You don't cast your pearls before swine. You don't become one of the crowd. Jesus stood alone. And what Judas wanted, Jesus gave him. He said, go again, do it. But he would not take from Judas that which would degrade him. As he stood before Satan, Satan said, well, look, why don't you do, you're the Son of God, you're the Son of Man, which was the Son of Man ministry, the Son of God had. Well, he said, why don't you just command those stones to be bread? Well, he said, it's written, he said, man doesn't just live by bread. Well, he said, that's very true, very true. But he said, I tell you what, you could become a television star, jump off a building, and of course you wouldn't disintegrate. You could do something great and people would honor you. And he said, no, he said, it's that'd be tempting God, he said, and there's no place to tempt God. Well, he said, why don't you worship me? See, none of those things did Jesus do. So we are not in a position to do other than Jesus did if we are going to love each other as he loved us. He did not give up anything in what he was doing here. See, he kept his full integrity, his full purpose, his full life. And he said, I do not give that up, but I tell you what I will do. I will use it to help you, that you might be a better person when it is over. Now we're talking about love. This is not sentimental hogwash we're talking about. This is unfeigned love of the brethren. And every time we take the Lord's Supper and wash each other's feet, we are pledging this. My noble brother, my noble sister, I am your noble brother, I am your noble sister. I honor you as a saint in service of God, as I honor my Father. We are both put here that we might glorify God and be helpful to each other, to help each other to a higher status in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we change the position God gave us. Doesn't mean that at all. It means we become more effective where God has placed us. So it's like literally as the people come together and they pledge allegiance to the flag. There were those that came together and preached and pledged allegiance to the cross. And our partaking of the one cup, the eating of the one bread, the washing of the feet as one group of people, is like a solemn assembly of re-pledging our allegiance to each other. As God loved me, and He wants me to be a part of His kingdom, He's giving me the opportunity to be a manifested son. So I accept you on the same premise. And look at, you do not expect someone to love you and you not love somebody else. Why is it so many people always want to love on them? It isn't going to work, my brother and my sister. Because if you want love poured on you, you are not sowing. And you'll never get it back. You can't have it. Why do I always teach something different every time here? Because I want you to see the facets of the scripture at all times. To know there is something more here to rise to and understand. Because nothing, brother, sister, is without meaning. There's not a voice in the air. There's not a blade of grass. There's not an event or eventuality. There's nothing that isn't absolutely meaningful. And when he said, now listen, you've all broken bread with me. You've all drunk the wine. Your feet have been washed. You're led into a mystery here now. And the mystery has to do with love. He said, I'm going to go off the scene, but I'm not forsaking you. And you know what? We don't drink unto the prophet. We don't wash feet unto the prophet. Let me tell you something. In the same scripture, he said, he that receives whoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives the one that sent me. And so, what are we doing? Actually, as we take these ordinances, we're thinking of all through the ages from the Apostle Paul to the last person that drinks of the cup, eats the bread, and washes and wipes the feet. Now, how much of the men of God that you've studied about and the men of God that you've known, what was the goal in their lives and what is the goal in your lives? Is it not this very thing we're talking about? To come to a place of you don't have to always worry about someone slugging you. The feet that you wash, sure to God, will not kick you in the teeth. And the hands on your head reach forth to bless, surely those hands will not reach and take advantage of you. Surely your nobility in Christ, you're manifesting that we're one. Now, families don't have it all that easy. They should. And we should recognize these things, brother, sister. And we can do it. Let me tell you something. You're not fooled and I'm not fooled. These words are not vain. They could come out of the mouth of a jackass, which verily I really am. They could come from a doorknob. But let me tell you, if it's the word of God, there's life in it. And that word in you will bring forth that life. I have seen it. As long as you know that there is truth and there is a Spirit of God with that truth which sets the motivation, you and I have no fear. Therefore, we can trust. What Stan said tonight is true about a prophet. God revealing His Word, interpreting His Word rather by revealing it, bringing it to pass. And we saw it. I want to ask you something. What are you seeing in each other? Some husbands don't see too much in their wives. Some wives don't see too much in their husbands. Some kids can't see anything in their parents. A lot of churches can't see anything in each other. You sat here tonight and you heard Dave. I'm not going to eulogize Dave. He's just one of the boys, so. He's a Pollock like Stan here. What's nationality got to do with it? What's color got to do with it? I thought he did a fantastic job. Bill Graham really erased my hair, what I got left. He surprised me from out of the world. I didn't think Shy Little Greg would ever get off the ground. Fantastic, a masterpiece. That's just to mention a few. Look, I ask you a question. What happens when these men stand up here and they speak out of their hearts? You know what happens? They're more real to you. You're more real to each other. God help us to be a real word church. I long for that day when we just cease from ourselves and all these things, and that life is released. I don't know when it's going to be all the way through, but Brother Branham did say when you receive the Word of God, you become the Word of God in your flesh. What good would that be if there weren't a life with it? How many like corpses? It just kills you to see a corpse because, you know, there was something there. You're almost as killed as that person. See, so what we're doing tonight, we are testifying to a reality. I am taking the cup. I'm washing feet. I'm pledging my love. I'm accepting love. Cynicism is rotten. You know most preachers are cynical. Most preachers are cynical. I've been cynical. I got terribly cynical. This word turned it around. Cynicism is not a God. It's of the devil. Now, look, I understand. We can say, well, hey, in a mere Pentecostal meeting, let me illustrate. They're good for a few jokes all the time. They're very happy people. And so there was a prayer meeting going on, and there was this poor guy. He was always backsliding. Always backsliding. So night after night, he'd raise his hand and say, oh, God, fill me. Oh, God, fill me. One day, lady said, don't do it, Lord. He leaks. Now, look. That's what I'm talking about. Many times we're leakers. Many times I'll leak out. Many times you'll leak out. Don't give up the ship. Keep loving. Especially the household of faith. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ that we honor tonight by taking emblems in the body, it is thicker and richer blood than the blood of your father, your mother, your sisters, your brothers, or any relative. It is richer, it is purer, it is deeper. Now look, we tonight here, brother, sister, are in the literal presence of the unseen God. We are drinking and washing feet and eating to the reality of the unseen God. We are doing this all with that conception of understanding. This is ours. I'm a part of it. We're a part of each other. Let your hearts go tonight. I'm stiff and starchy. I'm a Canadian by birth. Old Savatsky's an Englishman. Can't go without a tie, except he was over here. He's a mess. Every one of us, we've got our starches. We've got our inhibitions. And we're not Pentecostal to run around and scream and just have a good time. That's nice. I'm nothing against you. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy. What I'm talking about tonight is seeing what's in the Word. And what's in that Word and the Word in us makes us fully capable to love each other as Jesus loved those people. Yeah. Paul the Apostle said for the woman, man, woman, you're here for the man. Man, you're here for the woman. We're here for each other. I feel good tonight. The real spirit of Christ. I mean, here I wouldn't say it. Because I got to stand behind what I say. No, I can't say that I know that I can't have problems with me and with you. And vice versa. I'll say that. But I say this honestly. Whether you and I will go all the way to the admission and giving ourselves to it. We are doing this, what we're doing tonight. And our response from it is the love goes richer, deeper, and freer. You say, well, I think maybe if I did so-and-so, look, that's coming, but recognize this first. Believe this first. Take this first. Just believe it tonight. Here's your substance, taking these amulets. Here's the substance. Yeah, washing feet. Isn't it real? Sure to me. Now he said, look, you're doing it. And that tells me we can love each other as he loved. Now don't get yourself mixed up with God, please. And don't get yourself mixed up with mountain-moving faith and all these other things. Just get yourself mixed up with this. Even Oral Roberts knew. He said, don't ask God for everything. Three things is the limit. I'm telling you something. He said, people make major decisions in their lives usually twice only. And he didn't speak of being born again. That's a big decision. But which way you're going to go in life and who you're going to marry. You got a decision tonight. Am I up to it? Yeah. Yeah. I'm up to it. I'm taking communion for the wash to prove it. I'm part of it. So, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Right? All right. May the Lord bless this Barnheads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Your mercy, grace, and goodness, Lord, which is ours through Jesus Christ. And there's nothing in this word we can't turn to, but you just make us to see the most wonderful thing since the prophet came and the prophet went. But Lord, those men are waiting for those mansions. They're waiting for the millennium. They're all waiting on us. And here we are in your presence, no doubt about it. You haven't gone left just because the dead haven't been raised yet. And rapture hasn't taken place. So we know you're here. We don't see you, but we know you're leading us right into millennium. And on the way, Lord, you're leading us into a reality we've never had before. Father, tonight there lies within our hands and our own drinking, eating, and foot washing admits to it that we can love each other as you loved us, which means you loved them right to the end, saw them right through to the time of your death, and you came right back and saw them all the way through. So we also now, Lord, we don't have to worry about sizes and shapes and colors, jobs, anything else. Nationality doesn't have a thing or color to do with it. There's just one thing, and that is the recognition of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in us and in our midst, giving us the authority to know that we can love as you loved and love each other right to the end. Father, I just pray that you'll seal that to us. I know you want to do it. I know you want to disabuse our minds of anything that goes against it. So we can say, well, no matter what happens and how it happens, we love each other. We're loyal. We're true. Father, help us to get rid of the thin skins. The jaundiced eye, the things that cause us to misunderstand and be misunderstood. Bring us, Lord, into a place where we just accept each other in Christ our Lord and want the very best for each other and make every plan we can to help each other, knowing it's going to involve a sacrifice. But as the prophet said to me one day, you ever do for God which you wouldn't do except it was for God. When I said yes, he said, that's love. And Lord, I pray that as Jesus prayed, I've glorified you. I'm looking for your glory. It wasn't a, Lord, I know it wasn't just a, some kind of a little prayer that was edgy. It was just the truth. It was just the solemn truth from the heart of a man. And Lord, let it be that way with us. And you, I know, Lord, and it's only true that the more we're thankful for each other, the more thankful we get. And the more we are with each other, the more we want to be with each other. The more we understand each other, the more we do understand. The more of everything just brings more and more and more, as the prophet said, pile word upon word upon word. And I pray, Lord, tonight there's been word piled upon word until there is a change in each one of us. Father, I thank you for that change, because every day we're changing. According to your word, Lord, we, every one of us in this bride are changing. The outer man is changing, he's going down. And the inner man is changing, he is going up. And Father, I know in the name of Jesus Christ that as that inner man is going up, the outer man has got to conform more and more to him to show that Christ to the world. That's what we want tonight, Lord. And we're starting with the simple ordinances, and unto thee we give the glory. And every heart, Lord, open to you for your richest blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, bless you. Now we're going to take the communion service. Lloyd's going to come up and take care of the singing and the direction. We always start at the back on the left-hand side and come around. So we rise at this time to our feet. The deacons come forward and going to serve. And as you notice, as usual, when you go back to your seats, we'll dismiss you. We'll go to foot washing, because there'll be no dismissal after that, because it's too unruly. It simply cannot come together again. In the meantime, it's just wonderful to be together. The musicians come along here, and they'll take the ordinances first so they can begin playing. Lloyd, you want to come up here and ask the Lord to bless the emblems and the people as they come forward?
Heavenly Father, we want to give you all the praise and glory at this time, Father, for everything, Lord, belongs to you as giving you honor and glory, because you alone are worthy. Father, may you bless these emblems we partake of them tonight. Bless your people, Father, with all of the belief, Lord, and just may they, Lord, rise in faith towards you. So we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
What we did unto the Lord with each other. What we do next is to each other, with each other, and unto each other, in memory of what we've just done unto the Lord. I think that'd be a good time as we wash feet to ask the Lord to fill our hearts with real love, Calvary love, as the little poet wanted Calvary love. And that's what we want, to have real, genuine love that comes right from this word. No other love is going to satisfy me. I can't be satisfied. How often I've told you, I take any kind of a love. In other words, if people offer any kind of a love, I don't care if it's even perverted. It's some kind of love. I'm happy for just about everything, where people can be kind, tender, loving. I'm very emotional that way, and I'm very hard the other way of just not being too expressive in that realm. But I want real love, or I don't want any at all. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. The prophet said, why take something that's not real when the heavens are full of the real? You know, God's government was in Eden. The same God that had government is right here today on this earth, brother, sister, claiming it. Why settle for less? You know, I believe it's in our grasp. I prayed and prayed, and you have too. Lord, let that sweet spirit come amongst us, the gifts as it were on the shelf. Nobody's worried anymore about gifts and all. But that sweet love in everybody healed. I believe that, don't you? Let's put our hearts out tonight for it. We might not get everything we want. But look, we're getting there. It's word upon word. Until We've arrived. The Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, as we go now to wash feet, I pray earnestly, Lord God in heaven, not in excitement, not in some special kind of a zeal. In other words, Lord, just simply, humbly, we come to you tonight, O God, earnestly desiring to be, Lord, what your word sets forth here. And if we don't want that, we know that then we just don't want the word, period. But Lord, we do want it. We don't want to just know there was a prophet who stood here and said, yes, he appeared on that river, that is the one. And I'm just a voice. We believe that, Lord. And we do want it, and we appreciate it so much. But Father, and we're not trying to be like the prophet, Lord, although it wouldn't hurt in some respects. But Lord, we want that same reverence and sincerity and real love of the brethren that he had, that your servants had, and somehow we've got to have it, Lord, and bring it into manifestation in the nobility and the grandeur of the Christ of God, who laid aside what he could have had to just walk over this. But he laid it down to walk into this. And Lord, if there's anything we need to get out of the way, help us tonight to lay it down, no matter even if it's something good, whatever, that we can walk right into this genuine reality of a love. God, purge my heart and help me to open every door and kill every inhibition. We know that doesn't destroy discernment and true judgment, but it can destroy the insidious things if we just keep that out. And Lord, when you fill us with that, and we believe actually we got it somehow, there could be a little something holding it from coming out. And if that's there, I pray, Lord, you'll destroy it, you'll annihilate it, so it'll come out. Lord, we want to be what you want us to be. And we thank you that we're into it, O God. And by your grace, all the way into it and manifesting it. Now be with us the rest of the service and the service to come. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Seated this time, we appreciate that message. As we said here, many at different times you get 20% of it. If we all got 20% tonight, we put it together and we'll have the complete sermon. Appreciate the fact he found me and told me of one man that understood the message of the day coming in parts. I never had run across that, Oswald Smith, and I've never heard of anybody who did that. But history proves that's exactly how it was. And there'll be no history to prove that we're right in accepting the word for our hour, which is certainly a vindicated word now. For the table of the Lord, I want to read in the 13th chapter of the book of John, just a few words here. This is concerning the night of the betrayal, verse 21, John 13. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, when a person testifies to something, it usually is that he has knowledge of a truth, and he's telling you concerning what he has knowledge of as to it being perfectly correct. So he's saying here, it's a prophecy, but it's a testimony. He's going to be betrayed. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. And well, they might, because they didn't know. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast, and of course that's John talking of himself, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this thing unto him, for some of them thought because Judas had the bag, that's the golden calf scheme, that Jesus had sent unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Now the thought I want to bring for just a minute here is that the one that received the sop, or as I've been told by Josephus, and Brother Bob brought it out, that this was given to the guest of honor. And you know, Brother Branham did that to the Pentecostals, and especially the four gospel businessmen. So we're looking at the fact that Brother Branham did say in the Spirit of Christ that the Pentecostals were the cream of the crop, which was true. They were the ones to last be anointed. And of course, therefore, they would also be the ones to fill up the last cup of iniquity. That's something you have to realize. He says, this generation, he said in different places of Scripture, especially in the Gospels, this generation is upon the ones whom all this comes. So it'll be the Pentecostals who will be the most seriously and sadly disappointed. This is something we have to reckon with. Now, he said here it was night when he went out. Now, we know that in the lamps of the seven churches, representing the lamp representing seven church ages, the last one is the furthest from the source of light. So it would be the darkest. And in this hour, of course, is the darkest hour for the world, because as it was in the days of Noah, this age is not as it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they could start over again. Man had a second chance, as it were, from the cataclysmic effects of the flood. But there will be no history written. There will be no second chance. It's a very, very dark and discouraging age. Gross darkness is upon the people. But that, of course, is the time that God sends us His light. And as Brother Branham said, truly it takes a bad woman to make a good woman look good. It also takes the dark, as he said, to show the light. So here we are at this end time now. So as we realize this, we are taking the Lord's Supper with this benefit in mind. It is grossly dark. We testify to, and we acknowledge, and we admit. By this little emblem we take tonight, the bread and the wine, that this is truly a dark, dark, dark season. We know that it is destruction. We know that it is all over and history will not be written. But as we know also in Scripture, the parallelism of the Word of God, there has to be a Mount Gerizim for every Mount Abel. There must be blessing as well as cursing. And though the curse is here, the blessing is here, because the great blesser himself is here. And you know how the world drinks a toast to the one that's honored. This is perhaps maybe a wrong way of saying this, but I don't say it insincerely, and I don't say it to be dramatic. But actually, when you're drinking this unto the Lord, you're like drinking a toast unto Him, if you could just pardon the expression. It's drinking in honor of Him, because that is the Word. And the world out there is toasting everybody and everything. The church doesn't know that it's worshiping the devil through the church institutions. Their constant drinking and their constant toasting, as it were, their commemoration, is not what they think it is. We, on the other hand, could also be led astray in our own thinking that we are not giving Him enough honor. That we are not sincere enough to the extent that we really realize who is here. The King is here. Headship is here. Everything is here in the Christ. We have Him. So, not toasting the idea, that's not really it, but I wanted to bring out the thought. But tonight, in this utter darkness of the world, and it's getting worse and worse, we never thought it would come to this place. Let us think a little while tonight it can come to a far greater destructive place we're in now. People are trying to salve over everything that has gone wrong. They're looking for everything and everybody to blame. The greatest blame of all is the church and the pulpit, because they haven't taught the people the truth. How can they teach the truth when there was no truth teacher, a prophet, to give them the truth? But we have the truth tonight, so as we come to the table of the Lord, let us understand this. We do not care what obtains on Mount Abel. That doesn't matter. And remember the sons of Jacob, and there were a dozen of them. Six of them proclaimed the curses from Abel, and six proclaimed the blessings from Gerizim. What I'm trying to say is this, there has to be the revelation come forth of the darkness and the light from the bride church. Nobody else has it. And while we pronounce these things a darkness which we see and we must admit to, we categorically confess, as Brother Branham says, I indict this generation. In his indicting, he never drew back the fact, little bride, you are the righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sins, you didn't even do it yourself. And when you wake up to knowing who you are, that'll be the day, that'll be the sign, you'll be taken out of here. So that's what we're looking at tonight, brother, sister. On one side, we look at the darkness. On the other side, we walk in the light. Let's rise at this time while the deacons come forward to serve. They'll be serving also downstairs. Afterward, we will be, you who can stay, and if you perhaps just had foot washing yourself recently, you might want to skip that part of the service, but we who haven't will partake in it. This time also, Brother Lloyd's going to come forward leading the singing, because we like to sing good gospel songs as we go ahead and partake of this service. Also, he'll instruct you how to come from the very back of the left-hand side and come around here so there's no disorder in the church. We want to keep as much in the Spirit as we can. So at this time, Brother Lloyd comes, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look tonight, and I've looked at your word and seen wonderful things in it, and heard many things the prophet said and things brought to our attention, Lord, that we'd perhaps previously not looked at. Now, Lord, we look at this little exercise of faith that you have set before us. Can we honestly know tonight, Lord, in the gross darkness which is upon the earth and upon the people, where the earth itself is corrupt and the people have lost their balance and their sanity, where everything is going away, can we, Lord, look to you tonight like Noah did, knowing that there is an ark? And when destruction finally comes, we won't be here, but we'll be risen above it. Help us, Lord, to understand that the curse does not come to us, as Paul told us so truly in the book of Thessalonians. Lord, he said, but you are not of that kind. You do not partake of it. You're going to escape it. And so, Lord, that's what we look at tonight. We're taking this, then, the emblems as a symbol of hope and reality of all that you were and all that you are and all that you shall ever be on the grounds of the unfolding of that great revelation from now into the eternities of God. Help each one to realize that light tonight, O Lord, and if there be any sick among us, may they be healed. As the prophet told us to take this message for healing, we'll give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brother Lloyd, just explain how you're going to do. There'll be no dismissal at the end of the foot washing service. You'll just have to make your way down. The ladies have the first room to the left, and the men have the second room to the left. And I mentioned if you've recently had foot washing service and you do not wish to partake, you're just free to go after the benediction. But those of us who have not are perfectly free to stay and enjoy that part of the fellowship also, which is an exercise in humility. As Brother Branham said, showing the condescension of God when he took on a human form in order to be of service and to serve in his own community, his own cosmos which he made. And so let us rise at this time, be dismissed. Service tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Heavenly Father, go with us now as we go. May our rest be complete and sweet in you, Lord. And may we revive, O God, we pray, in our souls and our spirits and our minds, Lord God. Help us in the foot washing service to not only obey a commandment, but to actually partake in a spirit of faith and freedom, Lord, that it might do something deep within our hearts and our minds, because we know that no exercise, Lord, that you give us is without power. There's something in it, Lord, that is not only necessitous, but it's very, very good for us, Lord. May we enter into that joy tonight. Keep each one of us now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. A little from the Gospels here, maybe. The 13th chapter of the book of St. John. Just feel to turn there. Nothing prepared on especially. But reading in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now let's read it this way. Now before the great day of the Lord,
and Jesus was to return to this earth, he knew that hour was right at hand, being in it. So he rose off the mercy seat, came to the Father's throne, took the book out of his hand, ripped the seals off, handed the book back to the Father, who came down as that mighty angel with one foot on land and sea. The Son, having loved his own which were in the world, loved him to the end, climbed on the Father's throne, waiting now for the Father to put all things in subjection to him, bringing about a resurrection rapture. The supper now being ended, put it this way, the supper being about to start, God put in his heart, Jesus, that this was the time of it all. See, Jesus, knowing the Father, giving all things into his hand, that's right, putting all things under his feet now, 1 Corinthians 15, he now knew his established position, where he would be fully Melchizedek, whose order he had inherited from God, having fulfilled the Aaronic priesthood, knowing now that he shall soon have supper with his bride in the New Jerusalem, in the millennium, and then the New Jerusalem. So he took his position. And in his rising, he gave over the ministry that he had on earth when he was here in the physical flesh and came down in the form of the Holy Ghost, God himself, you know, is doing this, to give us the water of washing. The water is the separation that we might be a bride faultless without stain before him. And when this was done, many people could not take it. They refused the Lord to minister to them because they said, we really don't need it. After all, we have Jesus. Why do we need this washing of water, separation? Why do we need this vindicated message, so-called? Who needs Elijah? Certainly that must be for the Jews and not for us. And many people wondered in their hearts. And God and the prophet responded and said, nothing outside this message will come to life. Amen. Then those said, well, it looks like then we don't stop here. We go on. We have a new rebirth. He said, no. He said, the church doesn't start over again. This is end time. You forget all your old thoughts. And you come clean in this separation. Because now, he said, in this hour, you're every whit clean. Little bride, you're the perfectly sinless, righteous bride, the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't even do it at all. Now, he knew who his disciples were. He knew the bride. He also knew who would betray him. For he had already said, you're wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. You've got your gifts. You get your prayers answered. Oh, you've got fruit. You look like you got it all, but he said, you missed it all. Now, he said, you call me a prophet. You recognize me as God and you recognize the prophet. Then why don't you listen to me and do what I have to tell you? I've given you this, he said, to let you know what it's all about. Now the servant, William Branham, is not greater than I, but he is my servant. The one that I sent is not greater than I who sent him. Now do you understand the hour in which you live and what is going on and what is happening? I paraphrased. I'm not afraid having done it. I believe that's what's going on today. I'm talking Omega from the Alpha. When the one who washed feet laid aside his garments, showing his great humility, the same one has shown the same humility by coming right down here amongst people like you and me, currying our favor by acts. It's been tremendously wonderful. Hallelujah. To gain our attention. Amen. To gain gratitude. Favor. In other words, the giver of grace asked for our grace. Amen. You talk about God coming down condescending, brother, sister, in this hour. And not seeing him and what he has done. into foot washing, communion, these things that stand here. It just lets us know we've come a little way. There's a long way to go. You know, I get a little excited about Brother Branham coming back. I don't know what he's going to do. But you know, if he was involved in the shout, he's got to be involved in the voice, but doesn't mean he's going to raise the dead. But it's sure going to mean the same one. Whatever he says will be a continuity. And it'll be sure doing something as far as I know, which I don't know too much. But I'm just trying to get this thought across. If we can't get enough at this moment, let me tell you something. As Brother Branham said, when those apostles saw the dead come out of the ground, they sure had resurrection faith. We'll get her too, brother, sister. It works on both ends. It's working at this end. And you know what? That's the same way the rapturing faith is going to be. We'll know we're ready to go.
Hallelujah.
The trumpet will sound. Actually, we know we're ready now. We know we are ready now in the potential, in the essential. It just means one thing. As life comes to the two little cells coming together, forming a body, growing, 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 we have taken this life that's in the Word, growing around it, and we will be a body.
Amen.
That God can come to. Yeah. He's already here, his head, but there will be the finalization. We're coming. I believe that. And I believe every exercise that we do here in these meetings, foot washing and all, I have my hope that though I don't understand, I have thoughts I believe that are of the Lord to help us. And yet, they become sort of commonplace. They don't lodge as good as they should. Yet you know something? I stand in the Word of God that He shall bring all things to our remembrance.
Amen.
They'll work as we need them. We just need to open the hearts and minds of the Lord. So, at this time, will the deacon please come forward? Lloyd, you're coming up here to take over. And you know how we do this. We have a little way of doing things. We start at that back corner to your right and to my left and start.
Such an event to be carried over to the millennium is really mind-boggling as to the actual reality and the preeminence that God should give this in our lives. It's very difficult to understand. I don't know that anybody ever has understood it, as they will understand it coming in the future. Now, as I mentioned, foot washing. After service, we're going to dismiss, and it'll be dismissal for the evening, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And let's rise at this time then and be dismissed. God, Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise You for Your love, mercy, and grace bestowed upon us this hour. Especially, Lord, to know we've got such loving, kind friends to come visit with us, to make themselves part of us and we are part of them, Lord, knowing we've got sister churches and brothers and sisters around the country. Like-minded faith, Lord, and such precious like-minded faith, we appreciate it so much. Love them all, Lord, and we pray that Your blessing shall be manifested to them. Your grace and mercy, Lord, give them a good night's rest tonight, rising early to call upon Thy name, to praise Thy great and holy name, Lord, to serve Thee acceptably in spirit and in truth by the will of Almighty God. All of these things, Lord, helping us to learn to get out of the way, in honor, preferring each other, going the extra mile, and turning the cheek, whatsoever is required upon us, Lord. We would want to be in that position to do it, and very glad to do it, Lord. Fill our hearts, Lord, with the joy of Your salvation, coming from that great love of God, walking in faith, Lord. We know it's all wrapped up in one parcel. It's all in one great spirit. It's all in one great word, Lord. And we're just looking to have more and more of a part of it, a manifested part, Lord, until one day we all come in unity at great resurrection morning into the millennium, Lord, the great marriage supper, all those things, Father, that are ours. So now be with us as we go, Father God in heaven. And we just pray that love shall increase in all the things that You want for us. We want for each other. We want from You, Lord, and toward You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You just consider yourself dismissed to go downstairs. Verse 23 for the table of the Lord.
Beginning verse 23. For I received the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Remember, the bread and the wine is a symbol of betrayal. One day the Protestants and Catholics will sit down and have it together. The complete betrayal will be all over. Every time we partake, we believe we betray him. It's up to us. But it's a symbol of betrayal. Bloodshed. The scapegoat. Christ blamed when there is no blame. This is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased to dwell. How could he be anything but a scapegoat? He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness, which we did. Betrayal. He took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft drink it, remembrance of me. I said, remember this cup, he said, this bread is a covenant of betrayal. I've been betrayed. He was betrayed in the garden. He betrayed there. He's betrayed again. Symbol of betrayal. Every time you take it, you must realize everybody but you is betraying God. They're crucifying themselves, the Son of God, afresh. I know many times you like to think nice little sweet thoughts, but that's good. I'm glad for sweet thoughts. You don't want to shake yourself to reality because you're a little sensitive to these things and you prefer to be nice. But I can tell you, everything I'm saying that the devil has hated, says over my mouth, he's hating it right now. I want to tell you people something. I'm not standing up here some fools. I'm telling you, what you heard tonight, you need, this is indelibly upon your hearts and mind. This is a record, and I'm standing here telling you this tonight too. What I'm telling you, and I'm serious. Remember, this is White Throne, so I'm not fooling. The devil hates this with everything he's got in him because he doesn't want people to know that it's all been betrayed. Judas did not want to know. The devil did not want anybody to know. The captains didn't want anybody to know that Jesus was betrayed. He was sold down the river. Your false anointed don't want it? No. But we know. The great act of betrayal. And every time we drink this, it symbolizes betrayal. The blood is on their hands now. Like Pilate, they hope to wash their hands. They can't do it. But remember this message tonight, based on the perfect faith. You have a perfect faith, brother, sister. Though all hell rages, it seems the heavens are dark. They'll never overcome us. They can't do it, because that is the truth. There is a bride that will not be overcome. By God's grace, we stand in that place believing we're part. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. What an hour we live in. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. There again proves to you, Brother Branham said, discerning the body, number one. Do you know who the prophet is? You know the truth. 15 positive orders that outlaw you and stop you from taking communion. There's only one church that's got it. That's a church like this. You can stand up. Say, we take everything the prophet said in discerning. Let a man examine himself. You examine yourself concerning your deeds. Remember, Brother Branham said, it isn't the deeds you do that sin. It's your unbelief that causes the deeds that you do. Unbelief is sin. So don't go poking yourself full of holes tonight, although that's all right too. That's all right. Not against that. That's good. But where do you stand in this faith? And if you stand in this faith, where do you stand with the Israelites that came out? Are you in fornication tonight? Are you in brawling? Lying? Cheating? Stealing? Pulling deals? Too lazy to come to church? Too sleepy to stay awake? Can't be bothered? Oh, we've been getting along for years. We'll get along. Come on, stir yourself, people here tonight. Stir yourself. You haven't got years and years. You haven't got years and years. Just run out. Begin to look. But these things. If you're born again, you want your life cleaned up. We're not all perfect. My God, what a mess we are. But that's no excuse. There's a betrayal gone on. People sitting in our midst over the years in this message to betray. One purpose. Wolves coming amongst us to destroy. Betrayal. Men that say they love Brother Branham supped with him, said, well, he was wrong. Where was he wrong? You know what Jesus said? You know why I'm wrong to you people? You can't hear my word, you understand? Well, you're wrong anyway. Is that a fact? The man that said, let there be light. See, they're so wrong. They still think we're dealing with some little mystical thing instead of God himself, my brother, sister.
Yeah.
The presence of the living God. Where all things are now possible. Then the man examines himself. He eats and drinks unworthy. He's going to drink condemnation. Major points. Many are sick. Sure. A lot of sickness. You know why? We're not taking this message for a healing. You don't need a lot of other things anymore, Brother Sitha. This message is everything because this contains life immortality. Here's where it is. Listen, we'll get there before it's over. These things aren't being preached just for the fun of it. I would think they're wonderful to preach. They're exhilarating. They're not simply amusing. And they're not things, you know, to be entertaining. We're not looking at that. We're looking for strength to come out of this. As far as I'm concerned, I've given up on everything but just believing this message to do it ain't going to be done. I sure could do a few things for myself. That's logical. I say, well, Lord God, I believe that you feed everybody, so just feed me. I'll sit here and, you know, you won't drop any mouth. You'll have a bird come by and drop a worm in your mouth. Good for you. You asked for it. You drop a bomb on you, get you moving. God's not stupid, brother, sister. You can't con him. Can't twist his arm, as Brother Branham said. No, can't do it. Many are sick. Many are weak. Many sleep. If we judge ourselves, how you judge yourself? The judging word. First of all, if you made the word true. How can you have respect for words you don't believe to be true? How are you going to add 1, 2, 1, 2 make 4 if you don't think it makes 4? If 4 little things don't make 4 things, to you, where's your faith? You got faith with this man said? Now remember, he's not Pentecost, he's not Baptist, he's not Methodist. He speaks his own theology. The first valuable lesson I learned, Brother Branham does not speak my language, I do not speak his language. We're strangers. Okay? Judge yourself. When we're judged, that's the chastening. That's the correction. Now, I know, so God's going to beat my head in. He's not going to beat your head in. Why should he beat your head in? You learn. The teacher strives, so you learn 2 and 2 make 4. When you say 2 and 2 work, bang, she hits you like it. Now don't ever forget it. You got, she gives you candy or something. People are so messed up in their understanding of the Word of God. God doesn't bang anybody around. Why does she bang anybody around? She doesn't add to your brains. He wants your brains straight now. Funny people are funny. Love is the word. Correction the word, that's love. Remember, brother, when you come together to eat, carry one another. If you want to eat, eat your stuff at home. Don't bring it to church. Mess the church up. I slipped in it, didn't I? Don't bring your phony doctrine, goofy ideas to this church. Get them out of your own place. Lord love you? Sure he loves you. Let's rise now, this time. Deacons come forward, you're going to serve. Better pray for the morning service or just get the same repeat tonight. I haven't got any notes lined up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy and grace again, knowing, Lord, that as we leave this service tonight, we go, Father, with what we're commanded to do, to hear your word, Lord, to believe it, which we have. And we see it better than ever, Lord God, but, oh God, how we want it dynamized to us. Until, Lord, every breath in and out is just breathing word in and breathing word out, Lord. Every step is the same way, Father. Every thought in continuity. Father, we know that it's just something got to happen, Lord. It's simply got to happen. It is happening, Lord, but somehow we're just not aware as it should be. Now help us in this service, Father, as we partake of the emblems and the foot washing afterward. May your grace be multiplied to us. May your goodness, Lord, be known as never before. May we rest and have peace and faith in thee, O God. and love you as we've never loved you before, knowing that you love us as you've never loved before, Lord. We're seeing the consummation of it all. We're seeing the end of it all. We're seeing faith, hope, and love right brought to perfection. Oh, God, we're seeing a people brought to perfection by the grace of Almighty God. How wonderful that is. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful. To know a church, a bride, is being brought to perfection. And we believe that with all of our hearts, Lord, because we know it's the truth. We believe in this message tonight, and from what we seem to be the truth, Lord. Help us now to just get so simple and humble before you, Lord. It becomes just the way the prophet said, every day. I can't explain it, Lord, but you know what my heart wants. And I believe my heart wants what you want me to want, Lord. So asking out of my heart, Lord, for us, for myself and the people, let it be. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you, Brother Lloyd. Come on along here. So let's rise at this time and be dismissed, because there'll be no further dismissal. Heavenly Father, again, we want to praise you and offer our love and gratitude for your goodness, Lord. And just pray, Lord, that somehow that every word of you will be fulfilled in our hearts, minds, lives, to take the preeminence over every other word and thought, Lord, that is in this world, or we may have acquired somehow, which is not of you. So that indeed, Lord, you may have all the honor and the glory in these lives here. We present our bodies living sacrifices, Lord, hopefully. Not just to receive a blessing or some healing or something, Lord, but to truly be living sacrifices. That they go where you'd want them to go, to do what you'd want them to do, to be the kind of vessels you'd want them to be. And Father, for the foot washing, we pray it may do us good spiritually, Lord. May build us up somehow. We don't understand all these graces, but we know they're there. Now dismiss us, Lord, and bring us back together tomorrow with your love and blessing, O God, and greater grace than ever before. We might receive of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be dismissed.